the president-elect, it is very odd, man. I got to tell you, these last couple of weeks have been very strange. The president-elect has been hot on the Twitter.
He's been binging.
He's been Twitter, right. We're like, wow, he's going to put the phone down. Remember, like, all the people, like the adults that were around him that supported him to get across the finish line here? And they're like, well, you know, when he becomes president, he's going to be, you know, very presidential. And, you know, I'm sure that there's going to be a diminution of the use of social media and other kinds of tactics that he's used before because he understands the importance of this job. Well, apparently that's not correct.
Nope.
No, he I just think, I now, my only concern here, and I'm going to give the guy a shot. I'm going to give him a chance. I'm going to, you know, if he wants to bring jobs back to America, and he's going to call out auto manufacturers in order to do it, you know, it's a change. It's definitely a change. It's an interesting tactic. Let's see how it works, and see how the, you know, big business really wants to take to that sort of thing. We'll just have to see. But I think when it comes to issues of national and international security, I think engaging in wars on social media, you see what's happening here. One of the reasons that, you know, Chicago police talk about, one of the reasons that violence is so profound this year in Chicago, deadly violence, we should say, because actually the violence numbers are down, believe it or not, is because this stuff starts on social media and then it happens in the streets. And we're sort of, I don't like the idea of international diplomacy being played out. That's why you have diplomats. That's why you get back channels and get all that sort of stuff. And getting out and you know, fronting out on social media and making a big deal, whether it's with North Korea or it's siding with Julian Assange over your own intelligence organization. I mean, that part is very, very, very unsettling to me. Very unsettling. And I wonder if it's unsettling to even his most vocal supporters. Apparently not, because I mean, the Twitter trolls are out there. That's you can't. I mean, people. You know, he talks about the 400 pounder in his basement, in his mother's basement, who's breaking into Hillary's emails. Well, that's he's just describing what basically the Twitterverse troll universe is all about.
Yes,
right. I mean, that's kind of what that is.
That's the visual that we all have, yes, of the troll.
And it would happen to be accurate
enough,
as they say.
Yes,
but this is really.
Don't you long for the days when Obama was really thinking he was going to be able to hold on to his BlackBerry, and then that was a whole thing?
Right.
And then they're like, well, no, we'll come up with a way to deal with it.
So tight! I long for that. For like a couple of weeks ago. When he was doing, I was like, I mean, just imagine. I mean, that's a funny thing. To me, the amazing change here is that institutions, like, let's just take Fox News, for example. Very dear friends of Fox News. I've worked at Fox News. I've got, you know, obviously we have a lot of Fox News folks on this show. I have a lot of respect for Fox News. But I just find this to be interesting. That were Fox News covering Barack Obama saying that Julian Assange is a hero for finally calling out the truth and not to believe any that if the Russians, I mean, this is sort of something you would have believed, right? The Russians would have been behind the election of Donald Trump or of Barack Obama because they would want a leftist, a communist in the White House and, you know, all of that. And if Barack Obama had gotten in and said that, they'd been like all over him. Right. Instead, they've got Sean Hannity. They're one of their biggest stars now. Their second biggest star. Now that Megyn Kelly is leaving, going to London to interview Julian Assange in the Ecuadorian consulate, right? Embassy or wherever he is.
Or is he just seeking asylum, Sean Hannity?
I don't know. I mean, it's weird, right? I mean, and then you step and you think, well, really? Is it? And then Julian Assange is like, Julian Assange, whose mission in life is to disrupt secretive political organizations. That's what he says he wants to do. So it includes the United States in that, the Russians, the United States, everybody else in that. But he does seem to be, operating in a, you know, he's got his own set of problems here, and he did not want Hillary Clinton, with whom he had a very steep curve of a past. He was very concerned about her, and perhaps she going after him as president of the United States, going after him for criminal charges here in the United States. Right?
Yes.
But then, you know, with the Snowden deal and all of that. But then I just think it's weird. The president-elect turns away from the intelligence structure in the United States and says, no, Julian Assange might have this right. That is disturbing. Bob Baer is one of the most famous public, if not the most famous public, former CIA operative in America, and a hero to the United States of America for his work there. And I just wonder what you make of this, Bob.
I've never seen anything like it in my entire life, and I'm not exactly young. Or am I aware in history a president, or at least a president, even a president-elect, turning to a man who, Julian Assange, could easily be indicted in this country for espionage in the 1970s? I just find it absolutely extraordinary. Somebody who broke American law, hacking into emails, whether the DNC, Hillary's, or Podesta's, or anybody, you would turn to somebody, a felon, a potential felon, and ask for and take his advice or authority on this over not just the CIA, but the FBI and the National Security Agency. It's just extraordinary. It's never happened in American history.
Now, what do you think is going on in Langley, Virginia? Or at NSA headquarters in Maryland, or any of the other places where these bosses are sitting around thinking, okay, well, we've been doing this, and they've got field operatives. The CIA specifically has field officers out doing their job, risking their lives.
Well, it's not only that; they're about to brief him on the way they know the Russians were behind this and part of this, and I'm just speculating. But the United States National Security Agency has been looking at, fiber optics. It's gotten into them and have implants in these things. This is how we caught the North Koreans and Sony. So he's going to get a very sensitive briefing. I mean, is he going to turn around and talk about it? That's what they have to worry about. And also relying on Putin's
claim. And he can do that he can do that once he becomes president. As president-elect, he cannot declassify. But as president, he can declassify anything he wants, right? But
basically, he can get up and just say it's not classified. He's the executive authority. The CIA and the FBI work for him. They're his employees.
Right, it's like executive branch.
Yeah, and telling, a general taking over a division saying, I don't trust my soldiers, I don't like them. It's not leadership in any sense.
Are you confident that the intelligence services are right on this issue?
I deal a lot with the FBI, and the FBI doesn't mess around with this stuff. And that they say the Russians were behind it. They're looking at the forensics, the metadata, the code. Assange said, 14-year-old boy could have done this. The fact is, it was KGB code that was used. It's not publicly for sale, malware. It's just silly. In the National Security Agency, when they're behind this, they don't play politics. I mean, Trump is focusing on, the CIA got Iraq wrong. Well, that's a special case, and we don't need to get into that. But it's every intelligence agency said the Russians are behind this. And they're confident of it. So we're not really playing politics. The National Security Agency is the Defense Department. They don't play politics,
right?
Ever.
Are you alarmed?
I'm extremely alarmed. I know who Putin is. He's a murderer. I mean, in 2006, he had the Duma pass a law that it's permissible to assassinate Russian citizens anywhere in the world. He was behind the Litvinenko assassination, which the forensics point to Putin and Moscow.
That's using polonium
in London. It was right around the corner from the U.S. Embassy. And, they shot down this Malay airline over the Ukraine. And they tried to kill the Ukrainian leader with dioxin. So we're not talking about Putin as a Jeffersonian Democrat.
Right. That is an understatement. I appreciate the irony of it, having just seen Hamilton and all. It's alarming to hear you say that this is alarming, because I would imagine you're able to speak about this because this is your former job. But I can only imagine what is sitting right now as the heads of the NSA and CIA and all the rest of those intelligence agencies that do this job and know what they're doing. And they're sitting there scratching their heads, wondering why politics are being played here. And I get that, and I think we all do, that the president-elect doesn't want to see his election be undermined here or to be questioned. But that's separate from then crawling into bed. I mean, it's like it's an obvious chess move here by Putin. And it's like he's not giving up a pawn here. He's giving up a very, very, I mean, this he's giving up basically a knight here, maybe even the queen before it's all said and done.
This is an act of war, as McCain said. The Russians are trying to undermine our democracy, and they're succeeding. The way Trump should handle this is say, yes, I'm going to look at the evidence, and he can sit down. They can walk him through the metadata and the codes and the rest of it and why they're so convinced. Simply when he's president said, yes, they did hack, didn't affect the elections. No one has said that it tipped the election.
Right.
No one's saying
no
that.
No one with any authority is making that argument.
I mean, you can't. It'll never be made. He should know that and say, fine, and we're going to retaliate when I'm president. Not we're going to reset after an attack. It's like after Pearl Harbor, you say you're going to reset with the Japanese.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bob, thank you very much. You really kicked my 2017 off to a great start.
Yeah, I brightened the day, haven't I?
Yes, you have. Bob Baer, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Bob Baer, former CIA agent. He's the guy that's featured in the movie and the book Syriana. The book Syriana is written by him about the Middle East and all that. One of the highest decorated that we can talk about CIA agents of all times. So,
why are you in a fetal position?
Because it just feels better this way. It's the rocking that really gets me. Hey, you know, Violetta Pottermedic, what's the traffic look like?